A little more about Crazy Red and the Booker T band. He played drums and you got hooked.
Right. Red had a cadence. I've done my own vision of what Red was all about, because they called him crazy because he was very inarticulate, but he played a cadence. It's a very simple cadence, now that I look back on it, but then it was a thing that collected everybody. When Red played his cadence at the football games, the other team was in trouble. I always called him the 12th man on the football team, because when he played it, the crowd got revved up, and when that happened, it was all over. So he, in actuality, even as inarticulate as he was, he was able to gather people together, and you see the football players and basketball players doing this today. That's what his cadence did. They didn't have to do that. His cadence did it.
Got the crowd revved up, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But isn't there a time, as you grew older and become a drummer, that you and Crazy Red had
a... We had a battle.
You had a battle. Tell us about that.
Well, I couldn't get in the band in Carver, and I couldn't get in the band in Carver, and I don't want to sound like I'm sore, but... They picked and choose whomever they wanted
to
do.
Okay, let me bring this. This is Carver Junior
High School. Middle school, yeah.
That's your middle school that you're in. And you couldn't get into the band.
Couldn't get in the band.
And why?
I couldn't get in the band because they picked and chose, and it had everything to do with the color of my skin. The light-skinned kids got everything. If there's anything left, then they would give it to the black kids.
Let's bring us back to the time that would have been, what year?
Late 40s. There was social stratification within the black community. A lot of people don't talk about it, but at 78 years old, don't mean nothing to me, because I've been saying it all my life. So people like myself always walked around with a chip on our shoulders, because we knew we would not get the best equipment, the best whatever.
Could there be blacks who were very light-skinned that also would get in the band?
Oh, yeah.
So it was about the shade of the color.
It was about the color more than anything else.
Than if you were black or white. It was the color.
Yeah.
And we should point out... How would you describe you?
A little more than medium black, not real black. I wish I were darker.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, absolutely. I wish I were black. I fit my clothes a little bit better.
You're black. you're quite black, I can say.
Oh, yeah, I am. But then you ought to see my son-in-law.
So then this issue of the color of the skin, the lightness of it, affected you because you had proven that you deserved to be the drummer.
Well, the thing about it, as I said earlier, I live right behind St. Monica School. I heard the band play every day. I live in front of Carver. I heard the band play every day. So I knew all the marches. But when I got ready to take an audition, I was not even allowed to pick up a drumstick. The band director said, "What's your name?" The guy before me, "My name is blah, blah, blah. Go get a drum. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. Go get a drum. What's your name? Washington Rucker. Step back. What's your name? Charles Lowe. Go get a drum."
My.
That affect. I was 12 years old.
Okay. Well, how did that affect you?
Oh, man, it blew me away. The few classmates that are still around will tell you, I was a very smart youngster. I was smart going into junior high school, so I expected to be in the smart class. They put me in the less than smart class. So when I couldn't get in the band, my grades went all the way to the bottom. Because at 12 years old, first of all, how can you digest this kind of within your own community? I had a conversation, and I was playing with San Francisco with the great piano player Hampton Hawes. I was talking to one of my young ladies who was going to school with me. I said, "You know, you light-skinned chicks with straight hair got everything." She said, "Oh, no." I said, "Go home and get your class book and look in your class book." The football queen, the basketball queen, all light-skinned girls with straight hair. It was way in the 60s before they ever had a black football queen. And I know her. And she says, "I'm the first real black one they had." So it permeated our society.
The band director who said no to you, mm-hmm. What was he?
We're all black school. I went to an all black school.
It was an all black school.
But he was very light-skinned. Very light-skinned. Never said why. He said, "The rest of you kids without instruments, find another class."
So then at Carver, you were out. You did not.
I left Carver. I left Carver the 7th because my grades went all the way down. And my mother couldn't understand. And I couldn't understand it. I didn't understand that dynamic, that whole social where you got and we'll give you what we want you to. I didn't understand that dynamic. So my mother made the best decision she ever made in her life, and that was to allow me to go to Sand Springs. And Mr. Sims, who just passed away here a couple of years ago, was a young 23, 24-year-old boy right out of college. And he led me in a band. In that band in Sand Springs with three brothers and a cousin, the Long Boys, finest cornet players I have ever heard in my life playing classical music. They would be first chair trumpet players in any philharmonic today. And they were in high school. Also, Jackie Tillman. Jim Tillman, who was the first black pilot for American Airlines, came right out of that. He was the first chef clarinet player. And he was the first black pilot for American Airlines, full captain.
Sand Springs. Were you aware then of Marcus Haynes?
Yeah. Marcus Haynes was way before me, but I took a course in agriculture. Mr. Brown, the agriculture teacher, used to say, young boys are playing on the streets, and Marcus was out dribbling basketball. He ultimately became the world's greatest dribbler, and he just passed away.
For the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, Harlem Globetrotters.
And we have his interview elsewhere on this website.
But he went to Langston.
Yes.
And also, from what I understand, he was Langston's leading scorer all while he was learning how to dribble. So when Bob Cousy and all these people come along, now they got that from Marcus Haynes because they were all bouncing the ball straight up and down.
Right. He kept it low.
Yeah.
So then did you stay there?
I stayed there until my eighth and ninth grade year. But then I'd grown up with these other kids at Carver, so I came back and go to Booker T.
Here in Tulsa. Yeah. So let's talk about that experience.